Insights catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, good morning listeners, good morning dear listeners, welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe, and it's the 27th of January 2025. We are progressing at an understandable pace. We have started with 2026 and January is about to conclude, so that we look at what February has to us, what is the month of love has for us, and what do we do in the process of in the course of the year, because the year has already started. It's no more about planning. It's about practical implementation. What are you doing? Why are you still sleeping while your goals are waiting for you? Or are you happy with where you are? Are you happy with the goals that you have? And are you energetic today? And remember that, you know, as we are always indicating to say, time is moving very fast. If you want to understand that time is moving very fast, just imagine the time that you were a very young person, or just imagine the time that your only responsibility was only to eat and play. But now you are a full adult where you are now. But if you end 10 years to your ages now, you wouldn't want even to say them in public, because time will never wait for you. And as human beings, we are, you know, born to survive, and also come up with strategies on re-evaluating our actions and things that we do, to realize, to say, no, I'm 21 years old, I'm 25, I'm 30 years, things that I've been doing when I'm 29, I'm not going to do them anymore, or things that I'm doing when I'm 30, I'm not going to do them anymore. When you are 50, you realize to say what you've been doing in 40 years, you are not going to do them anymore, or you find a better ways on advancing, because the only important person, or the only thing that keep us going, is our ability to change, and also our ability to look at the environment and also change, so that we wouldn't, you know, blame ourselves when we reach ages where we are no more energetic, where we are no more able, but only to capitalize on memory and wisdom. But nobody want to get old, and what you do is only blaming yourself, but is to look back and also be happy to say, I had fun, I have worked, I have played, and I have created a good network and good connection for my children and also for the future. So those are some of the things that we need to look at, especially when you look at yearly planning, and when you look at where we are going. And, you know, apart from issues of gender-based violence, which has been going around, we also have good news. We also have good news, especially coming to Namibia. ISPED is coming to Namibia today, and it's part of boosting Namibia tourism, part of his tower, part of his tour to Africa, and we hope that it's not only going to generate international attention, but also we'll be able to sell our country. And people are indicating to say, when the guests come to your house, please behave properly. It's the same principle that I've been used when we are young, to say, you don't just need to play around, you don't just need to behave funny. When the guest is around, you also need to show, you know, some level of civilization, and also show some high standard of hospitality, so that it's not only ISPED, the world is watching you, the world is looking at you, because it's also about marketing yourself, and also about presenting yourself, business people, and also those who are organizing. It's not only about taking selfies, but about the quality standard of hospitality, so that those who are at the tourism sector will be able also to boost, you know, Namibia image. Because when you look at the current tourism statistic, global statistic of 2025, which is indicating that tourism in Africa has increased with 8% compared to the previous year, of 2024. And there is also a boost between the years of COVID-19 and where we are now. You look at the current statistics of 2024, Namibian tourism, to say over 1.4 million tourists visited Namibia. But one great move, particularly where we are in the world of TikTok, in the world of Facebook, one great move that attracts international attention. People would want to come and visit Namibia, because with high speed coming to Namibia, the young man is not only 20, he's not even 25 years, but has a global coverage and followers of around 70 million worldwide. And that is a great thing. And let us capitalize on that. Let us not just fight for selfies and sits at the front line, but also identify talent also, because there is one thing that I have seen, especially with the creative industry. If you have a Namibian who is from a very poor background and is talented, bring that person closer to that person of influence, because those guys who have been around, they are able to identify talent, and they are able also to collaborate and assist. Not only to say those who are already advanced are the ones who are coming closer to the international celebrities. Not okay. Let's bring those Namibian talent. Maybe you'll find them at Hollywood, at Nollywood, at Bollywood, and also at an international stage, because what you need sometimes is just 2 minutes of publicity, so that the world look at you, identify you, and you become an international not only celebrity, but you become valuable and use your talent. I remember there's one young boy at the age of I think it's 14 now in Botswana, who was just punished to sing in front of church, because when they went to church, they went out and play. And when they came, the pastor had to punish them and sing. But somebody recorded a video. And that guy now, when it comes to wealth, when it comes to fame and fortune, you will not pick him up. He is a guy with money and talent. But just that 2 minutes, video on internet, that has changed his life, and the international collaboration came. And we are indicating to say, let us behave civilized, and let us give opportunity to those who don't get really opportunities. Because if we are fighting to be at the front line, and we have already been given platform even to travel, let's give young talented opportunity also to meet their brother. High speed is coming. Maybe it's already here. But that is a good news, especially from the tourism sector, and also from talented individual. Because in this world, sometimes you don't need to go to school. Sometimes you just need to show your talent. Sometimes you just need the right equipment. Then you make money and influence the world, and find a way. Because we are living in the world where a well-calculated move can change your life, or can also destroy your life too. Because where there is good, there is also bad. And that is how life is. So, it's 20 minutes past the hour of 6. And we are looking at international news to say, what do we have when it comes to international news? What do we have? And we'll be looking at the government of Venezuela. Like Madame Rodriguez is also very tired now of getting a lot of instruction. And we are seeing how things are going to be. Are they going to come pick her up again, like what they did to her predecessor? Or what is happening? We are going to look at Venezuela. We are going to look at Libya. And we are going to look at Interpol, recent, operation. And also to look at a victim of human trafficking. But for now, let us look at a short commercial break, then we continue with the conversation for today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipurane ngelo wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Kono ngeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kongerewa mura etatu natu bali o etatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM. The eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. And the time is 24 minutes past the hour of 6. Let us look at what's happening in Venezuela. You know, after the capturing of the president of Venezuela, Nicolas Maduro, the vice president, Desi Rodriguez, became the interim president. However, there have been a lot of instruction coming from the United States of America, particularly on domestic affairs. And also the way you run the state, especially in the sector of oil and gas. And addressing the oil employees, Madam Rodriguez indicated that enough of Washington orders to politicians in Venezuela. And may Venezuelan politics be the one to resolve our differences and also our internal conflicts. And enough of foreign powers. This republic has paid a very high price for having to face consequences of fascism and extremism in our country. Those are the words of the interim president of Venezuela. That is Madam, Desi Rodriguez. And she's one of the world leaders in a very critical position, especially when it comes to, is it United States of America that you are saving, or you are also saving your people? And are you going to divert completely from the ideology of your predecessor, or you are going to be seen as somebody who has a role in overthrowing or capturing of your predecessor? Because the moves that have been happening is that after the capturing of Nicolas Maduro in Venezuela, what have happened is that when Madam Rodriguez was sworn in as an interim leader, there have been some release of political prisoners, especially those who thought or those who were, arrested because of political views. And it's also giving a message to say it could be the vice president at that time was not really very happy with the administration of Nicolas Maduro. or is this also her chance to shine? Is this also her chance to shine? But looking at the way the situation is now, you'll be able to remember that after the capturing of Venezuela, United States of America have sold oil, which were in some reserves in Venezuela, at the cost of $500 million. The cost of $500 million US dollars. And also some of the executives were given instruction to return to Venezuela to conclude those businesses. And also to look at the position where Venezuela is standing, because when you are looking at it from a political perspective, you realize to say there is no way, even analysts have indicated, particularly those who deal with security, to say there is no way a president can be captured by a foreign power within an hour without, cooperation from the inside. And you also realize to say, in most cases, destruction of countries happen when you have assistance from the inside. And who assisted those people from the inside? And also what made Madame Rodriguez safer than Nicolas Maduro? And have they changed their security apparatus? Have they changed their system? Or she can also be picked up anytime? Because if you look at the records of DEA, some of the leaders who were, we also put in that list. She was also in the list of those who are very closer to Maduro. And United States is controlling. And there were indications that it was just a matter of time until the U.S. put a stable leadership in Venezuela. Now you are also asking yourself to say, is this going to be the time for Madame Rodriguez to shine, or is going to be the end of leadership, because she indicated that it's enough is enough, and they can solve their own disputes. And you are just asking to what extent, and to what extent are they going to communicate with the U.S., and also are they going to do business? And interestingly, the world has completely forgot that Nicolas Maduro is arrested, completely forgot people are now focusing on Greenland, and you just realize to say, maybe it was just a diversion for people to continue their business of oil and gas. But it's a news to look into, to say the relationship between Venezuela and United States of America, for how long it's going to be like this, or is this going to be the end or the beginning of also the U.S. to understand and work together with the interim leadership. Let us look at NRSC and come back with conversation.
Choose driving sober over driving intoxicated. Choose to obey speed limits over speeding. Choose to use pedestrian crossings over crossing just anyway. And choose to replace worn out tires over pinching pennies. Choose to do the right thing on our roads and save lives.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
Lipura nengeno wapungwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukulile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshuwala. Onongeshefa ya pumbo kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi tayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM. The Eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. And let us look at the oil deals. It looks like, you know, Libya is now becoming a green field area, especially from investors, particularly those who want to continue dealing with oil. And, you know, how many years after the death of Gaddafi? Because if you are counting 2011, you may say 15 to 16 years after the death of Gaddafi. I stated that Libya signed $20 billion oil deal with Total Energies and ConocoPhillips. Libya signed 25-year oil deal with France, Total Energies, and the U.S. base ConocoPhillips, involving more than $20 billion of foreign investment, Prime Minister Abdul Hamid said during Libya Energy Economic Summit in Tripoli on Sunday. And the agreement was signed through Waha Oil Company, a subsidiary of Libya state-run National Oil Corporation. Maybe this is an example of UNAMCO, or Libya state-owned enterprise which deals with oil. And the new agreement should boost oil production capacity by up to 850 barrels per day, according to the Prime Minister. It also expected to generate over $376 billion of net revenue. And the agreement reflects the strengthening of Libya relation with the largest, most influential international partners in global energy sector. Just to look at that content and also understand that It was strictly business, and also understand that the business of oil is the most dangerous and also rewarding business too, particularly if you handle it with care. And if you are dealing with oil, if you are dealing with the big international corporations, particularly that are dealing with oil, you must not only be careful, but you must also understand the business properly. Otherwise, it's going to be a long and rough road. Because remember, if you go back in 2011, then you look at the global political economy, particularly in the tension of Gaddafi and the Western world, you realize to say that Libya was self-sustaining. Libya in before 2011 was even at the point of funding a campaign in France, funding presidents and having influence in France. You realize how powerful Libya was, not only in terms of gold, but also using oil to turn the desert country into a green garden. But you realize to say, after any conflict, look at the new trade agreements. After any conflict, look at what has happened. And also look at the operation of business and ask yourself a question to say, when you look, for example, in DRC, DRC have been in conflict for over 20 years. Rebels here, rebel on the other side, have the business of oil and diamond stopped in DRC. They have never stopped. Even during the deadliest war, those mines are well protected. Helicopters are flying every day and the business is continuing. And when it comes now to look at the strengthening of Libya relation with the largest, most influential international partners, ask yourself what was happening before 2011. Which companies, at what percentage they had shares in Libya, and who was controlling that lucrative business? And was Gaddafi really a dictator, or it was just part of business deals that he did not want to accept? Because now the field is open, and maybe also ask yourself a question to say, is there real stability in Libya in terms of governance? Is Libya now also powerful to have a say in continental affairs? Because when it comes to African unity and also support of trade, Libya was at the forefront of Africa integration and also unifying of Africa because it had the financial capacity. But looking at how things are happening now, you have Total Energies, you have ConocoPhillips that are in that space and signed billions of dollar agreement. And also ask yourself a question to say, when an international company is signing an agreement with a smaller state, with a developing state, who is really winning there? Who is really winning? Because if you want to understand the trade, do not only look at infrastructure, but also look at the intention and also look at the numbers also who is benefiting. Because when you look, for example, at, I do not want to say the so-called infrastructure, but the infrastructure that are built especially to enable trade, you realize to say in some cases, some of this infrastructure are just built to take out resources without stronger ambition of finalizing these products at finalizing this product at home. Because if you look, for example, yesterday I was looking at how African Development Bank have funded continental project, particularly the brief economic report of 2025, where you have around 200 million invested in trade route between Sudan, Ethiopia, and Djibouti. Then if you look carefully, you realize to see Djibouti is an entrance to African horn, to the horn of Africa, especially in terms of trade. And you also look at the logistic hub there and how many international military camps in Djibouti, and whose interests are being protected. Then you realize, you say, sometimes when you look at infrastructure, when you look at an investment from international cooperation, also look at the people, how many people in Djibouti are under absolute poverty, and what level of development. Then you realize, you say, sometimes you have wealth, but if you are not handling it very properly, it's not going to be yours. And it's also maybe a question also that should come to Namibia to say, when we are going to celebrate the first oil in 2026, I hope so, whose oil is that and how are we going to benefit from that? And when you speak about benefiting from a value chain, to what extent and how can we make sure that we get our fair share, not 50%, but we get our fair share of the wealth of our country, so that we'll be like other countries who have played very well. Because just look at it this way. If you have economic power and you handle your resource very well, no one can come and point finger to you. Why do you think United Arab Emirates, Qatar, Oman, Turkey, and other countries, even the most powerful countries in the world, cannot tell them what to do? Because they made sure that when it comes to ownership of their resources, when it comes to their debts, they have paid their debts and they own their resources. And they are not flip-flopping. They can trade with anyone. They can also call out the most powerful and aggressive nations. Who do you think, for example, have stopped the war between Israel and Iran that almost become a third world war? Those countries, they realize to say, U.S., you must talk with your people. Because when it's come to Hormuz trade route, if that is blocked, and the global oil price will collapse, and it will take us back to the history of civilization, and that is exactly what we do not want. Otherwise, this will collapse the whole system. But when you have your own resources, it's easier for you to make decision, and it's also easier for you to have a say, unlike what is happening now in Libya, what happened in Venezuela. And I'm feeling very sorry for Madame Rodriguez, because she's faced with the test of time. She's really faced with the test of time. And she also has to tread carefully, not only because of the US, but also to look at people from his own country, particularly the supporters of Nicolas Maduro, to say you must stand on your principles. If you are diverting completely, it looks like you have a role to play. And that is the nature of politics, especially in Venezuela. But let's see how she's going to navigate through that. So let us look at the short commercial break, then we'll look at the recent report by International Police, Interpol, especially when it's coming to human trafficking. And we're also drawing a case study closer to home to say when it comes to human trafficking, is this now becoming a lucrative business? How many people are involved? And how many people were captured? And how many victims of human trafficking? What methods have been used? And remember, when you speak about human trafficking, it's no more something from far. It's also something which is within our country, especially our young ones who we love, and we are really ambitious and we want the opportunities. But throughout those who use advanced technology, you end up finding yourself in a container, or finding yourself without some parts of your body sold at the black market, or even find yourself become used as a dung mule or a prostitute, or just end up in the jungle of Myanmar, like some of Namibians who were lucky to come back at home. But let us look at a short commercial break, then we'll look at what Interpol have done recently, then we'll look at the conversation for today. So stay tuned, because we are here until the hour of 8 o'clock. And you can also engage us in the studio at 083-288-401 or 083-288-401.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipura nenge no wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opoye ekukulile. Oshafafa na nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuwana. Konongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge fatafano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa vera hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM. The eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeli, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. And looking at human security, you'll be able to realize that when it's coming to case of human trafficking, it has been one of the things which does not only affect other part of Africa or the whole world, but also Namibia. And the recent report on the website of Interpol has indicated that the recent operation of Interpol burst global human trafficking network and has assisted 4,400 victims of human trafficking, and that was indicated by the operation that have happened and reported on Monday. And when you look at Interpol Chief of Security and what has been stated to be Operation Ribetera number 3, took place over 11 days, and that have happened across 119 countries, involve 14,000 police officers. And there are new trends, particularly when it comes to sophistication of criminal syndicates. It is indicated that the criminals are also evolving, they are changing, and they have new tactics and techniques on how to take people abroad, and also, exploiting new routes. Because if they have been using the routes of Djibouti, they've been using the route of Senegal to Spain. Now they are finding new ways, and they have sophisticated the technology. And one of the methods that is used in human trafficking is employment abroad. When you are in Namibia and somebody give you an exact position that you want in UK, in Brazil, in Thailand, with more advanced price, and because they know exactly how to attract the people, because that is where they specialize, then you find yourself saying, I'm so lucky. And they end up paying tickets for you to travel to their country, and that will be the end of you. And that is what is being stated. And it is stated that criminal networks are evolving, are exploiting new routes, digital platform, and vulnerable populations. Interpol Secretary General Valdesi Ukizas have stated, and identifying this pattern allow law enforcement to anticipate threats, disrupt the network, and also capturing this scheme. And the countries which are showing serious concern, the roads are the countries such as Senegal, Burkina Faso, Morocco, Algeria, and also Peru and Brazil. And as it was stated, authorities in Asia have, discovered 450 workers in a single day, laid. And that is so concerning. That is really concerning. And these workers are found in a compound in Myanmar. Interpol have stated, and when you look at the jungle of Myanmar, it's one of the jungles that Namibian ladies found themselves to, because they were tricked by not only tricksters, but experienced criminals, and that is exactly what is happening. And the issue of human trafficking is also linked to poverty and unemployment, because when somebody is using online system and telling you to apply for positions, and also if you are on LinkedIn, they will even indicating to you that some of the possible jobs at international companies. And as they say, the banker does not have a choice. You will not even demand clear information, because you are having this impression to say, if you don't take opportunity, others will be able to take it also. And the other dangerous thing that was also discovered by Interpol is that these syndicates, they are also using their victims to get others from their countries, to scam others for the improvement of better condition where they are. Because if you find somebody in not only in the UK, not only in Thailand, telling you to say there are a lot of jobs here, come and apply, you must need to think twice, because it could be that that person is coerced, or that person is forced, or that person is also have joined that gang. And when you find yourself there, you will be in miserable position. That's why, ask yourself a question, why somebody from your village went to Thailand, went to Philippines, went to Brazil, but is not even uploading pictures, or is not even coming back at home? Do you really think a person does not have money, although he's pretending to have a good job, or maybe a husband or a wife, but is not able to come back at home? It could be that that friend of yours, that cousin of yours, become a victim of these syndicates, and we must really be careful, particularly when you are getting information, and use authority in order to get clarification, because if you tell the truth, your embassy in your country will be able to assist you, or your embassy in another country will also be able to assist you, particularly when you are giving right information. Don't just be like some of people who believe that they are critical thinkers and they love surprising the market, or they love surprising people. Because if you are this person of loving to surprising people and you don't have enough information, you end up surprising yourself. You end up being surprised by the surprise yourself. That is why it's always necessary, it's crucial, it's important, it's needed actually to have right up-to-date information and also know what is happening around the world. I actually do not have a problem with people following international football, but I have a problem of people not following what is happening around. You find somebody traveling to Mozambique but did not even read the weather of Mozambique, or did not even understand what has been happening for the past 3 weeks there. What if there is war in the country? What is there is deadly earthquake or flood? And you must know, and you must really know what is happening before you travel, or what other countries are doing. Don't just be excited about the hotels that you are being showed on WhatsApp and also on Facebook, not knowing that you are the victim of human trafficking. But yeah, it's what has been happening. And let us look at a short commercial break. Then we'll look at the conversation for today, especially when we are only going to speak about two things: renewable energy and non-renewable energy. And can we really stand on our 2 feet and say Namibia can only develop with renewable energy, or we are at a point where we have to cut out all the non-renewable energy so that we can advance our country and also try to position ourselves with the world to say, for the past 5 years, we have been so focused and concerned with climate funding and green financing. But when it comes to the real impact of greenhouse gases, you realize to say statistics are indicating that Africa alone only contribute 2 to 3 percent of greenhouse gases. With this exactly telling you to say the impact of climate change that we see in Africa are not contributed by Africans, and we must relook at various energy platform that we may be able to use in order to advance our continent and also our country. Because sometimes we need to look at the numbers and also say, am I betraying myself? Am I following an agenda? Or am I just creating employment for somebody from outside? Or am I really genuine about utilization of my resources and also being self-sustaining? And why are they telling me what they are not doing? Why the United States of America, most sophisticated country known as a free world, with MIT graduate and Harvard graduate, scientists from technical universities being allowed to be moved away from, you know, green energy sector, or from using renewable energy and calling it a scam. Why so? And whose agenda is being pushed, and what can we learn as a developing nation? Looking at the fact that we are at the mercy of our neighbors, especially when it comes to energy, because more than 60% of our energy is coming from outside, and we're at the mercy of our neighbor, and we really need to look at that situation. So let us look at the short commercial break, then we can look at the conversation.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipurane ngelo wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maundu toto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete opoye ekukulile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihoetike kovano ile koshiwana. Konongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu honda doi nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijabo ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora itatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ileko mberewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM,
the early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeli, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are moving. With Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And today we'll be speaking about renewable and non-renewable energy, and also to look at how the country have been operating for the past 5 years, especially with our ambition of industrialized Namibia, and also to look at our trading partners and the developmental partners, what they look at, what they are funding, and also what we want. And we must also be able to make a difference between what we want, what we do, and also what we show the world. Because as we are now, where we are standing, we still depend mostly on external, especially when it comes to the supply of energy and the price of electricity in Namibia. Have been continued to be subsidized. Looking, for example, 2024, and you speak of 2025, there have been a lot of subsidization of electricity. However, there has been also, conversation about supplementing of the grid, using solar, using green hydrogen, and also using other, forms of energy, especially when it comes to the conversation of green energy, renewable energy, and also stopping this deification of the environment. But the one thing that should stand out and must be very clear is that when it comes to the discussion without any biasness, so when it comes to the discussion of climate change, one must be able to realize to say, although the world has shifted toward green energy, Africa continue to be the victims of climate change, and Africa, although continue to be the victim of climate change, Africa did not contribute anything to what we are going through. And we are not saying we must contribute so that we see that we are contributing, but it should be very clear that for us to develop, we can't be and I was trying to look at the case studies too, and somebody must prove me wrong, a country which has developed for the past 20 years that has only used renewable energy entirely. But when Donald Trump came to power, that was for the first time, I think that was around 2016 there. When Donald Trump came to power, but he indicated is that America gonna use all form of energy. Then it was done. He stated the US is going to use all form of energy, and we are going to leave this Paris Agreement. He did not say we are not going to use renewable energy. He said America will use all form of energy, either it's renewable or non-renewable, and we industrialize. Then my question is that why all the science and technical gurus in the US have been very quiet? Is it really because he's a president, or is it because they are saying something? Then you come to the point of Africa. Firstly, we are colonized. Secondly, we are recolonized by international financial architecture. Thirdly, there is neo-colonialism of trade agreement and also aids with it's not only strings attached which are hidden. Now you can even be being told on the boardroom that this is what you need to do to us. Ask what happened, for example, in DRC to say, we are going to give you aid, but we are also going to sell as critical minerals, otherwise this thing is not going to work. Then they have to open up, because somebody has to say something. Now, looking at where we are now, there was a conversation, and there's still a conversation on green hydrogen, and I do not want to say it's fading, but when you read the situation and you look at the interest and the thinking, you must be able to understand that there are some interest which are not that of interest which has been, especially in comparison to Tatagenkop. When Tatagenkop was in power, he made sure that all those who are focused on the green sector, they look into that aspect, and generation of a lot of finance too into that area. And we have now oil and gas, and we have uranium, which is on the table. Then we also have coal that we depend on it. Then the question is that can we not have everything while the world is putting themselves in order? Or we really need to gather of total transformation? Even if, number one, we cannot feed ourselves. Number two, we cannot power our own electricity. And number three, we depend on the outside, either for food and also for energy, and we are already thinking of behaving like those countries who have already developed their countries. Because one person gave an example to say Manchester City, cities, New York, Washington, and also other parts of the world. Some of these cities were built by our grandfathers and our grandmothers, and they were built by slaves. And for you to have a foundation of a city, a state of art, Manchester City, have a London Bridge being built by renewable energy, it was practically impossible for those countries to develop using renewable energy only. But now when we are saying, okay guys, now we are independent, this is exactly where we are going. Say, no, you are identifying the environment. How can I identify the environment if you contribute 98% of all the trouble and I only contribute 2%? Is that really, is that 2% really the reason that, you know, crocodiles are in towns in Mozambique due to the impact of climate change, of heavy rain and flood? Can Africa focus on its basics first before the world is putting themselves in order? And you must be get me very clearly that I'm not anti renewable. I'm just pro development and also looking at the tangibility of the results, because energy experts will tell you various things on the benefit of green energy, on Paris agreement, on the benefit in terms of finance, but what they will not tell you is that Africa, maybe Namibia, we only contribute maybe 0.0001% to the trouble that causing the melting of ice in Greenland and other parts of the world. But can we feed ourselves first before we start discussing other issues? Because one thing that must be very clear is that there is quite a very big difference, and that we have been not really to say played. We have been as a country receiving a lot of praise just for the sake of praise. Namibia leader awarded Mo Ibrahim, I think that was 2014 when Tate Pamba got Ibrahim, most peaceful country, good leadership. Yes, that is external ranking. Then we become the country, the best, the cleanest city in Africa. That is when look for you, and we are very happy at that time. Then we become the country with high standard in terms of press freedom. That is a very beautiful thing. We are able to speak our mind without being targeted, and also we become number one in terms of road infrastructure. But what we realize is that yes, those may be element of a good state. What we do not realize is that are we praising the world too much without looking at ourselves? Now, if you put all the rankings that we have been getting, then you come into Namibia, then you are asking yourself to see, in terms of now where we want to get, how are we moving? How are we moving? Yes, peace and stability. Somebody said we cannot eat peace. It's the late Dr. Genko May. So rest in peace, we cannot eat peace. But when we speak about industrialization, where are the projects? What are we doing about it? And what is the Minister of Industrialization doing about industrializations? I was just reading an article of my colleague Louis Shimi, which stated that when it comes to construction, the building plans, they went down with more than 30%. Then you're also asking yourself to say, in terms of industrialization, where are we? What are we doing? What are we using? Why are we so much concerned with external validation when we are suffering at home? That is the conversation. Is it really true that it's only through renewable energy that we'll be able to develop this country? We'll be able to create employment to the hungry nation, so that we'll be able to create opportunities to these talented young people who are roaming around the street, so that we can be able to have a country which is self-sustaining. Because if you cannot If you cannot comprehend the conversation, at least try to understand. Even if it take you 2 weeks to understand the speech of the Prime Minister of Canada during World Economic Forum. If you get that speech and understand it, then you realize to say, the world is not how we have been looking at it. And when you now look into the reality on the ground, it's only that now that the Western world is not speaking the same voice, then you realize to say, the truth has been there, have been presented to say, international laws, international agreements, maybe looking at them, maybe looking like it's there to save the world. But when a global power player decided to say, no, America first, enough with your discussion on green finance, enough with your COP 26, 7, 8, and 9, we are going to use all form of energy, and we are not going to pay you, as it has been stated. There is nothing that will be done, and we'll continue also to delay our people because we want to praise the world, because we are not really contributing anything. Why can't we find better ways on using our green and also non-renewable energy so that we can build our country and our infrastructure? Because yesterday I had a very brilliant conversation with Reonard Akathingo, who indicated that in creation of iTransfer app, he was very tired of theories. He was very tired of theories, the dialogues and conversations on mental health and all these things, and without seeing anything. Because in Africa, and it's something which is delaying us, when we want to do something, when we are faced with a problem, we are sitting. We have committees. We have subcommittees. We have review committees. We have task force. We have A-team. We have advisory body. Then we celebrate and clap hands on documents. But are these documents really going to be turned into tangible evidence that we are going to use? Because he said he was very tired of mere conversation, but wanted to do something to transform this this country. So, dear listeners, we are into a short commercial break on IMBA. Then we'll come back with a conversation. Stay with me until the hour of 8 o'clock.
Great news! IMBA just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMBA? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Hello, Namibia. The NSA is conducting the Household Income and Expenditure Main Survey from the 28th of April 2025 to the 22nd of April 2026. Our officials in NSA uniforms, IDs, and branded vehicles will visit selected households in all 14 regions. Hashtag Your Data Matters.
Yeah. We are moving forward. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And also to ask a question to say, can we really look at what is working for us rather than praising the world? Because we have praised the world so much. We have been celebrated, but we are dying in pain. We are not giving our people what they deserve. And we have been praised to be the most stable, the country with the future of green energy, the country with peaceful people. But when it comes to what the world owed to us, the world is not giving us what they owe to us. When we were faced with devastating drought in 2024 that have impacted the meat market of 2025, and also could be the contributing factors to our downgrading. The world did not come really to our rescue, because countries which are responsible for the outcome of climate change impact, they did not stand on their commitment, and who continue to be speaking only about this. Because if you remember very well, not long ago, when Tate Shefeta went to Azerbaijan and stated that my country is faced with drought that have never existed for 60 years, and this is our demand to say those who are responsible must honor their agreement through Paris Agreement and International Convention of Payment in terms of to deal with that damage. Now, if you deal with that damage that is caused by external forces, when are you going to develop? Because one thing I love about South Africa is that South Africa may have their own problems, but they are navigators. They are navigators, because if you listen to the G20 summit of last year, if you listen to Dr. Ramaphosa, the Minister of Electricity, the presentation that he gave, especially in terms of energy, you'll be also shocked about how tactful he was, in terms of using their energy, to say we are not going to abandon this one, we are going to complement, because we cannot stop Eskom just because we want to transfer to renewable energy, but we also have industrialization to build. Then you realize to say we have some of the smartest African people that they don't compromise on what is theirs, but also looking at what needs to be done. So you can call back at 083-888-401 or 083-888-401, because if you want to get the understanding of the conversation of energy, look at the G20, especially the summit that put together the ministers of energy and infrastructure. When they look at that view, they say, no, we understand you, but that is not exactly what you are going to do, because we have people to feed. We have also light to be kept on. Because, good morning.
Yes, Shombe.
Yes, how are you?
Good. I don't know if people have realized on the issue, for instance, of Venezuela. Venezuela might be very happy that the USA and Trump have intervened. Politically, they know that yes, they gain, they get democracy, maybe which they want, but they have lost the country. That is what they didn't know.
They did what?
They get democracy, but they have lost the country.
No, what do you mean?
I mean to say, look, because they at the same time own their country, natural resources, they themselves decide what with their own natural resources, especially the oil. They themselves also try to even to project their own foreign policy and sovereignty. But now they can no longer be government, they have to govern. Because they give them that perfect president and the perfect government. They United States have installed the franchises.
Now, what do you think about Madame Rodriguez? Do you really think she's with Maduro, or is trying to protect, her presidency also, or is her time to shine? Because she's also cornered.
How can she be with Maduro when he was installed by the Americans? And the Americans are the one who abducted Maduro.
But she was in the same cabinet. She was the second in charge.
No, it doesn't matter. Because they have to put somebody, they have to give you conditions. Yes, they have to give you conditions. That's why we are saying, no, the warden, the way I see it now,
yeah,
just open to the law of jungle. The survivor of the
yeah.
That's why you could easily see that the international structure like United Nations, Security Council, and it's no longer working. It's no longer there.
No, it's not. It's not. We are not seeing it.
It's no longer there. we can be there building employees. We are there, even maybe some military, whatever, they are there, but they are not there. At a critical moment,
I hear you. So you want to tell me that when Madame Rodriguez was speaking to the employees, it was just a political rhetoric because she said enough with American influence into our own politics.
That is the same way we have this politician in this country who always saying, "No, this is me American." That, but you are dealing with American. Because you have to say it just to appeal them.
The public.
The public. You know the mathematics. You have to say it to appease the public. You think in this country, if you are not blaming the Boers and the white, you are going to stand away. Yeah.
No, I hear you.
You cannot stand if you are not going to find a water. A
scapegoat.
But that is the same system, that is the same country that is feeding you, that is the same country that put you. And that is the way our people sometimes would not understand the general public, you know.
Mm-hmm.
How can you blame the Americans when the Americans, they are the one who put you on the power? They are the one who abducted. Now, he wanted to use Maduro now, rhetoric, just to appease the public.
Yeah, because I'm also asking myself, is it really that Madame Rodriguez will be happy when Maduro is released? Is she going to be happy? I don't think so.
Is Maduro is going to come back?
Yeah. No. I'm just asking because even the fight to say bring our president back is no more that fight. It's only the fight of saying oil and all these things because it's like he's out of the picture.
That's why if you say, you know, the Venezuelans during maybe the time of Hugo Chavez and others.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a time they took over. The Americans were there.
Mm-hmm.
By the time they fight very hard now to take sovereignty of their natural resources, especially the oil and something, to take their own, you know, developing agendas like that.
Mm-hmm.
This is what anger now Trump. And this is what have angered now the Americans, to say we are going to take back our land, our property, and also to ensure that we have upper hand in the oil production in trade and market. So this is what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Maduro have to come back. He will find all those deals closed. How is it going now to reinvent them?
Mm-hmm.
Because it took them Venezuela during the Hugo Chavez and other time now to do those things, to take sovereignty.
Now,
it was almost like, you know what happened to the, when the Zimbabwean took the land, then Mnangagwa took back the land again. It was a right moment decision, even if it came at a painful cost. But to take the sovereignty back, you can go back to what even Toivo said. Toivo now said, look, if they catch you and they release you, meaning you are in the same league with them.
You have sold us out.
because by the time the drug comes. He will find already things in place. So, you know, what? And him, you no no longer know also he will be interested in his own, you know, freedom also. If he have to be.
Now, do you think do you think we are safe as a country, or are we ready to deal with the business of oil, especially in Namibia, or what make us different from Venezuela, Libya, Iraq, and also other countries, especially us as a very small country? What made us different from even DRC?
Just go to the question of ownership. How much percent the country has in that oil? That is where you need to start.
Yeah, because the other time I check was because we are there with NAMCO, right? The other time I check, we were having around, is it 15%, but I'm not really sure. But in
I never see anything to say Namibia is going to be the refinery.
Are we do we have a chance to buy them out? Maybe after a few years.
Yeah, because I'm saying the only thing Namibia could have done in terms of negotiation, in terms of strategic also, they could push to have a refinery. Because if there is no refinery, they still have to take this oil here, take them wherever they have to be refined. First, you have a production cost. You have a transport cost. Then in and out for the oil to come back again. Now, in terms of cutting oil price now, how? It will be the same. Because this is even what happened to the Angolans now. Angolans, they used to be very cheap. Because they have their own refinery.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe I went to use for Brother Dangote. Because he's going to be...
In this world, as I'm saying, what the country could have pushed is to have a refinery first. Because if you have a refinery, even if you are not a producer of oil, you are refining them, you are what? Reducing the cost.
Oh,
if you want, but those things cannot work now because the owner of oil in Angola is not an Angola. You understand? Because everything first is being defined by ownership, and ownership can be defined in terms of the share that you have in that mining.
And there's also one thing which I was also looking at to say, if we find or when we find our first oil. And we start operational, there's nobody who's going to hold Namibia government accountable if it's only 1% of the people who are employed in that sector, because this thing comes as a greenfield. People can come with their own employee and you cannot do anything about it. We may say what we can say, but really, it's something that to me, I think I agree with you when you speak about ownership, because when you own, you have control of everything.
Let me tell you, white man, you know, even you yourself have a farm.
Yeah.
You are right now, commercial farm. Does the government try to say what to do with the farm? What are you going to do in your farm?
No.
Even if you are saying, I'm not going to grow anything. Does the government need to tell you what to grow?
No.
But
the impression is given to say it's ours and we are going to utilize that.
Whoever tells you, that's why President Gekogo was correct at the time, only that he was not in the position to say it because he's the one who was supposed to safeguard the sovereignty, the ownership of the country in oil industry. Because he said it's not ours, meaning he was, only that he was too honest. Maybe
he was truthful.
Sometimes you need to think, maybe when he came in, that these were already signed. And he had to come and say, no, oil is not ours. Because he has to take the owner, the shareholder, who owns. Because the owner decides control. Who to get what is the present in public. Because what people don't understand, even if you say no, the African is just a market of the global, you know, economy, for raw material.
Yeah.
The mathematics is like this. Because these guys came here, and if they come and invest in a god, they take ownership of the god, even if the god is in your country.
Mm.
Then from there, the god is theirs. Now they are going to decide the ownership, the price in the supermarket.
And you are correct. And no wonder we have been mining gold for a very long time, and we did not even find an interest in having a refinery because we don't have anything. The best refinery is in South Africa.
That's what I said. Even if you have now a gold, you want to refine. You are going to refine this gold.
No, you are making it right. You are making it right to say, even if we have been mining it, we did not even find an interest because it's not ours.
Because the owner has a place to refine. Because remember, these investors that you see, they also have an economy to grow. They also have a nation to feed back home, wherever they come from. That's why they come here, they build their refinery in their own country. That's a simple mathematics like that. So now you are blaming you because the problem started with it. At the beginning of negotiation, when there is no discovery of anything.
Maybe just two minutes, because I was looking at this greenfield foreign direct investors and all these things. Maybe just 2 minutes, because there's something that the president made, and I'm very happy with it, to say we must upgrade our negotiation, game, to say we don't need to negotiate with poverty mentality. And do you really think we have best negotiators in Namibia who can say it's either our deal or no deal, or we just negotiate to see the results?
Because for us, we don't have a sovereign threshold, ownership threshold. Before you move to any negotiating table, the threshold is already there. In your mind, you have already been told here the government can only, you don't negotiate less than this.
You mean the threshold to say here is a no goes on, we start discussing from this?
Yes, we only start from here.
This
one, even if this issue came on the table, we cannot negotiate.
But we don't have something like that in
where?
I'm just asking.
Why you have some 5%
or 3%?
3. 15, 0. Is that
the threshold? No, you are making sense, but I think Botswana has a policy on that.
Yeah, because sometimes you know some of these things are classified information. It's not something that you need to
know. No, I hear you.
When the country has already its own, because people have faced to say, look, in this industry, this is what we need. This is the capacity that has been required. Just imagine before you negotiate the oil, you could have already for all those years investing in the human development and capacity for the people to work in the oil industry. That's what we could have already done. And you keep on delaying sometimes the negotiation for the deal to go through. Why? Because you want to make sure that by the time the deal is on, you have the whole capacity.
But maybe you don't have patience. It's because if you give me something under the table tomorrow, I'm done.
That's why I said that. We have quick money. That's why I will tell you, look, you must always like learning from that. Why? Just ask yourself this question, John. Why the trade negotiation between America and China take too long?
Because they are playing chess.
It's a chess.
Yeah.
It's a chess.
Yeah.
Because by the time those delay tactics has meaning. Because they are building a capacity. They are trying to push to build a capacity. Because before they attain such a capacity, then they will not agree. They will always debate.
Maybe our vulnerability is also showing off, because if you want to realize that, because the president was very clear to say don't negotiate with poverty mentality, because one thing which come out in everything which we discover, the face of the matter is always that this industry is going to create this amount of jobs. Maybe that is our vulnerability too. And it's not true. It's not entirely true. When you come to say, how are we going to do it? Then we start fighting each other. Maybe it's our vulnerability too. To say, when you are told this, then you think it's a golden thing.
If you can ask your president, the poverty mentality starts from which point to which point?
Started
from which point to which point? Because so that we know that if you are negotiating with poverty mentality, it's when you are doing negotiating.
Because when you explain it, is to say we must use our resources as a bargaining power, because we have something to stand on, to say it's our thing, you can take it or leave it, or to push them because we are standing on something.
There is a starting point and the end point and the middle point.
Oh, you want the scale?
Yes.
That is difficult. Yeah.
This is what the president is supposed to go and his team go sit and do, put a scale. A negotiation scale to say, look, in this industry, this is the mathematics.
Uh-huh.
Here, we just intern only, and here. Here is no go area for the next 10 years. But anybody who come in, we can negotiate. But what are we going to do? We need first to build capacity. We need to understand also.
I think you gave me a homework, especially with the threshold. Maybe it's there, but I'm going to check on it. What rule book are you following? Because it's not a secret of negotiation to say there are standing principles to say in Namibia, this is where you are standing. In Botswana, this is where you are standing. Maybe we have a rule book on negotiation too. But I think I need to check it.
You know, the Danish they don't negotiate anything that compromises their sovereignty. Their sovereignty is defined. It's not the word that you use. Eh?
Yeah.
Because that ownership is defined. Because even if you negotiate, you compromise it, they are going to say, look, you compromise it here and here and here and here. It's simple mathematics like that. Now, the first thing is that whoever negotiated zero, that the government has zero shares left.
Who was there?
We are saying, and our people also did not understand the fact that the international economy and politics does not want the central government to be involved in what?
The market. In the market.
Okay. Apparently, the government should be a regulator. A regulator, you are on the side of the law. Right?
Mm.
But some laws are public, but some are not. Ne? Mm-hmm. But they are known by the state.
Okay. Just 1 minute. Let's look at our conversation for today. Just 1 minute. I want your view on renewable energy, because I find it so contradictory, especially we are cornered to do things which other people did not do, where the laws are not applying to them. I'm not against, green energy or renewable energy. I'm just asking to say, what do you think we should use in our agenda for industrialization? Do we need to restart cutting out, or we need to go with both of them?
You said what the South African has said. That's the answer. Yes, what did I tell you?
Yeah.
Kakuma has a sovereign in the water, but immediately he agreed to fly with the water. He lost sovereignty.
you went to a different ground.
that water knows that the rain will come and the water dry up. Then he go find where he need to hide until the next season. He's still alive.
He did not change the environment.
Yeah. There was nothing wrong with where he was. You understand? But he was enticed. Or he was enticed by this.
He likes things.
Yeah. Because the thing is, because the person who brings you the
concept,
mm-hmm.
has ownership of it, has sovereignty
of the air,
has upper hand over you. He wants you to change from there so that you can take his system. So that when you take the system, he's going to control you.
Okay, thank you.
You just go with everything.
Yeah.
And while you are using this one, when coming with a new concept, you must first learn the concept. Build capacity for that concept. By the time you are going to implement it, at least you have, if you can have something to leverage on. Minister Kwasa told you, he mentioned one something very important in that induction. He said, look, over 30 years, Namibia did not build any company that can operate internationally. Zero. When we tell you, a black is a child who cannot grow, that is the mathematics.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Lazarus. And yeah, thank you, Lazarus. Thank you for the conversation and the story at the primary school of tortoise and maybe put it in a simplified way, two birds. Say they have advised the tortoise to change the environment so they can fly. But it's very difficult to operate something that you do not really know, because a tortoise underwater has an advantage, can operate, can swim very fast, can find foot and maneuver. But when you go on air, that is somebody's territory, and you need to play according to the rules. But imagine you being on air, and you do not have wings to fly. And that is what we are comparing when you are using renewable energy. It's a good thing, but do you understand it properly? Do you understand it properly? Because, and if you want to get these things very clear, you must be able to understand that in your developmental trajectories, you must have a backbone. And also strength to say, this is where I'm going. This is the capacity I have. This is the rules. This is the capacity I have. Imagine now, we do not have expertise in, although capacity can be built, expertise in even using of non-renewable energy, coal, and also making electricity. We don't have expertise. Then we have to say, before we are, when we are building our engineers and all these people, then we realize to say, no, let's go renewable, guys. Don't understand the framework. Yes, we are going renewable, but the father of renewable say, no, I'm using all form of energy. But South Africa was very clear to say, guys, we understand you, but we will never abandon the operation of, we will never abandon our own interest over international accepted principles. That's why if you listen to Dr. Ramakgopa, he stated that yes, it's a good idea, but people must be fed, and we are not even the one to be blamed on the contribution to that green, greenhouse gases. So, good morning.
Yeah, morning, Shombe.
Yes, how are you?
I'm fine.
Yeah.
You guys are still praising with the green hydrogen renewable.
It's not only, don't put wind in my mouth. It's not only green hydrogen, it's renewable energy in general. No. It's fine. So what do
you want? I just don't want anybody to, you see, we don't realize, and this is the problem. Somebody else has come from, wherever they come from, they sit there and they said, look, we need to come up with a method that will undermine the African country or other middles, whatever, economy countries.
Yeah.
You know, these whole things is what they are actually telling you is that you have to actually see reset from what you have actually built. Reset the whole things. Because what they don't want is mostly for the African countries not to be self-sufficient. That is the great reason. What they want, the main purpose of them, the objective goals, is for countries like, country in Africa to be dependent. That is what they want. So, and this is where I always said, look, if you want to actually find out where the future really is, where all the means are there, where when they build their security infrastructures, follow the Chinese and the Indians. and the Russians.
Mm.
The Chinese and the Indians are the most consumer energy.
Yeah.
But they concentrate more on oils, nuclear. And you go around the world, you look at how the whole global infrastructure is actually set up.
Mm.
It's being operated on fossil oil.
Yeah.
How are you going to transit from fossil oils to green? How? You need transport, you need machinery to run, you need all those things.
Yeah.
I just don't understand how do we somehow think. You know, if I was in the cabinet and somebody comes up such a proposal,
you are going, and then keep quiet. You are going there.
Yeah. Put some mechanisms that would either just suppress this nonsense. You just sign and then you don't implement it. You see?
But it sounds pleasing because prompted me to come with this conversation is to say we are saving the world. Then the question is that saving the world from who? If from you guys who? Are contributing 98% of what of, you don't of, want of me to do of green
emissions.
Of emission,
of emissions.
We are going to.
Look at what happened to Davos when they were in Davos. Everybody went with his own private jet.
Yeah.
How much does oil how much oil does the private jet take? They must go by foot then. Why didn't they go by foot?
No, it's a good question. And how many of those transportation use green energy? Maybe do we even have a private jet on EV? E-jet.
It's nothing like that.
It will not reach that capacity of flying, eh?
There's nothing like that, my brother. You, you know, there has been a study that has been done. I think the American did these things.
Yeah.
On this EV.
Mm-hmm.
They will tell you it covers, once you charge it up fully, it will cover, approximately to 550, that is what it tells you. But once you embark in the road driving from here to, it will not reach. So by the time it will only cover 350. So the 150 is not covered.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the thing with the battery, I think it also depends on how you are using it. It's not really, I think it's like, is it not like a phone? Because we can charge the phone the same time, but, the way I operate the phone is not the same the way you operate it. And maybe the quality also, but I don't know. It's just a conversation which you are bringing about and also to say how many times we have been praised.
The issue of EV does not come today. I think in 1950 or the 1992 they are around. I mean, if it's not Spain, it's in America or somewhere in Europe. Whereby somebody comes up with that. But it was not sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, fossil oils, you see the Americans are going around confronting countries, trying to protect their empire or their dollars to die.
Mm-hmm.
They are going around today. We are actually expecting war between America and Iran.
Mm.
What is the main aim?
Mm.
If one have to ask, what is the main aim? Why is America want to attack Iran? It is because they want to put their own government that they control.
And
after that will give them a power to control the Strait of Hormuz.
That is a game changer.
So that means they control the oil flows in the Persian Gulf.
And they control the Russians also.
And they control the Russian also. And then they have weakened BRICS.
Yeah, because that is the center of everything. And I don't think the Eastern country, they will leave Iran the same way they left Venezuela, because that will also be the end of them. And that's why I think
that is what I'm also thinking.
Yeah.
That is what I'm thinking, because Mm. You know, you need to understand that as I have just mentioned geographically, where Iran is, it's at the backbones of BRICS.
And it's well positioned, and I think that's the only thing that is saved it also.
Yeah, because it's neighbor with China, and it's also a neighbor with Russia.
And
they're not that far from each other. It's not like Venezuela. Venezuela is, look, from Venezuela to America itself is 250 miles, I think.
Yeah.
When I was looking at when I was trying to find out exactly how far it is, and it's very much far from Russia to Venezuela, very very much far.
Yeah,
because
you are correct. Yeah,
and to share military even intelligence, very far. They can supply. But it's very difficult, and there it's in the hemispheres of America. You need to understand that the reason why they went there is because the Venezuelans wanted to connect the financial system to the Chinese system.
Because he was captured, I think, 2 days after the visit.
Yeah, and the Americans are playing spheres of influence. You know, they have a law already that prevents all those Latin Americas not to have any business or any bilateral agreement with a foreign hemisphere. That is already the problems. And then they come up with another strategic, apparently the one that was produced by Trump, the strategic security, national security, something like that.
The new updated one, eh?
National
security strategy.
Yeah, something like that.
No, it's the one which said apparently Russia is not the main threat to the US, but it's China. China is number one.
That is the reason. What they wanted, the reason why they provoke Russia in Ukraine. They come up with a method of isolation. You isolate Russia, you weaken it, and then you pivot to Asia. When you pivot to Asia, you go and destroy the economy of China. But China has penetrated in Latin America, in Brazil, and wherever. There is nothing that the Americans can do.
Okay.
And you know, I was actually studying the histories, the world history, from empire to empire. The Roman Empire, how it went down, is by expansions, funding war, territories in other countries.
The no limit,
they have a dollar, they call, what is this one? Dinaro, whatever. It was just a silver coin. Then they mixed it with gold because the inflation was going higher. They were spending more than more than they produce.
Uh-huh.
The same trajectories went to Spain, and then again the British. The same way.
It's expansion. So
the Second World War. British, they won the war with the help of the Soviet Union, but the pounds went down. The Americans comes out very, very strong. You see, when the Americans comes out very strong because they were buying gold reserve. What happened then? In 1961, the Americans went to war with the Vietnamese. When they went there, they spent almost 8 years stuck there. They wanted to come out. They couldn't come out. When they come out, the dollar for the war depreciated, and they wanted to find something on which they can actually align their things so that they can keep. So by that day, the Americans, the empire was supposed to go down. Yeah. Then they started. They went to Saudi Arabia. They promised all the good securities and everything and so on. Then they said, okay, each and every country that is going to buy oils must buy oils in dollar. That is when every country now started want to have a dollar as a reserve in order for them to trade throughout the world, because subsequently everything becomes now tradables in dollars.
Mm-hmm. Become international currency.
Yeah, it seems as if history is going to repeat itself. The war of Ukraine and Russia, it's a proxy war.
But it would
weaken the American dollar.
It would define our future also.
Yeah, it would defend our future also. That has weakened the dollar again.
The
Chinese and the Russians, the Indians, and because that contract of America has expired, they had a contract with the Saudi Arabians that everything must be bought in dollar. It has expired and it has never been renewed ever since ABM's become the crown's prince or something like that.
It's still going on,
but it's not on the basis of the contract as it was.
Just mutual.
Okay. Yeah, just a mutual one now.
Now, let's just in 1 minute, because I've seen when it comes to Libya, Total Energy is back. They are signing billions of deals. And it also coming to the same question of saying, are this conflict really main conflict or is our resources? And my concern is my country, is Namibia, to say, how should we navigate through? Because the Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, those guys, they survived. They were not attacked, but they managed to utilize their oil. What do you think Namibia would do better
on our side now, because we are still a little bit vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
What we need to do, we need to choose to be neutral and do business with each and everybody.
Mm-hmm.
While we are trying to maintain a little bit of power in order for us to protect ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You trade with the BRICS, you trade with them and so on. Just be neutral. Don't choose side.
We are still growing.
We are still growing.
Okay. Thank you, Ne.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
All right. Cool. Yes. Thank you for the great input and, always value the contribution, especially when it's come to, global affairs and things which are defining our future. It's a dying call just for 1 minute. Yes, good morning. I am going to go to the house. I'll give you tomorrow. You start, né? Tomorrow you start early.
Once you allow this one to start, then you finish the whole thing.
But, Uncle Bona, you are the king of our air, and we respect that, not only at this program.
No problem. I also respect them that, the way they consume, there's no sustainable development.
Oh, all right, we'll be sustaining tomorrow, ne?
Yeah, all the best. Ne?
All right, thank you. Yes, Uncle Bona is speaking about equal distribution of the resources, and I think we must come up with a fair scale. But yeah, dear listeners, thank you very much for listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe, and to our callers. And also those who follow number one favorite talk radio station in Namibia. Bye-bye for now. See you around. And I'll leave you in the good hands of the big mic to unpack the day. See you around.